after 3 long formidable days of introducing evidence and listening to contentious testimony in open court, both parties, the DA and the public defender, who is designated to represent me in the proceedings, cease all course of action and advise the court that they rest the case. The judge then slightly turned and faced the body of the county jurors who was sitting in the jury box adjacent to him on the right side of the courtroom and began verbally reading them the final jury instructions according to law. By social standards, south of the Mason-Dixon line, this was supposed to be a qualified group of my peers, a fair and impartial jury. However, when it became blatantly obvious on day one of jury voir dire that the judge was allowing the DA to systematically exclude African Americans from the jury pool, so on account of their race, I knew that the vocal slogan fair and impartial would serve as a vain and defeated truth for me. After the judge had given the penalty phase instructions to the jury concerning the rules applicable to the case, the only thing remaining now was the conclusion. Just after nightfall on Thursday, December 16, 1993, one by one, in a single, file line, 12 jurors composed of 11 whites and 1 black began exiting the crowded courtroom to deliberate what is the sentence be to life in prison without the possibility of parole or death by legal objection. Then suddenly, in the corner of my eye, in the peripheral field of my vision, I could see and sense the sensation of physical aggression beginning to ooze from the well-dressed, elderly, gray-haired white man as he unexpectedly sprung with a leap to his feet from the seat that he occupied next to the middle-aged lady on the wood bench in the gallery area of the courtroom. I calculated his height to be about 6 feet tall as he reached measurable length. Then, without warning, crudely, rudely, and abruptly, with threatening vigor, his full-toned voice powerfully and loudly spewed out the 3 words stating, "Kill that nigga!" Instantly, it sent quivers of his vigorous energy throughout the entire room. This moment was serious, strong, piercing, and surreal. I could feel the vibration of anger, rage, and hate reverberating from the emotional depth behind the racist remark. Visually, as I scanned the whole room, I could detect the sudden element of dismay on the face of the court reporter, different audience members sitting in the gallery area, surrounding the elderly man, the district attorney, and several of the exiting jurors as they stopped, turned, locked their eyes directly on him, and then me. The brief sequence felt like a scene that you would see in a Hollywood movie, but this fleeting moment was for real. At only 18 years old, yet looking 7 years younger than my real age, stood baffled and startled from the occurrence. I was dressed in casual clothing with a brown, bushy, uncut afro, trying to emotionally and spiritually brace myself from the thrusting bombardment of gloom energy I felt the world was unreasonably shifting upon me. I wasn't admitted to society as the DA labeled me to be, nor was I that gun-packing gangster that he so imagined and poetically depicted for the jury. Yes, I had committed misdeeds in my life, but I was far from being an intimidating threat that I was being judged to be. No one in the trial proceeding knew the complete truth other than me. The DA's mean version of the crime events was full of hocus pocus. It was confusing at best. One minute, He told the jury that I was the shooter. Then 3 weeks later, spoke of me as simply being an accomplice to the crime. The truth was, I had actually participated in the botched robbery. But Al, who had accepted his fate weeks prior to pleading guilty, was the one who drew the 32 caliber weapon and fired the single shot that caused the unintentional death of Mr. Turner. Nonetheless, my accompanying defense counsel refused to call Al into court as a witness on my behalf, which left the jury's mind open to the assumption that I was the actual shooter. To me, the full trial felt like a sham against the principles of law. Back in the hood, in the environment I was originally from, we labeled these types of perverted procedures as a Negro being railroaded in a kangaroo court. But this was my fate for refusing to plead guilty to killing Mr. Turner, as Al had done just a month or so earlier. Now, my future, my life, hung in the balance of justice in this clean, white, modern, but eerie, dirty courthouse full of many onlookers whom I had seen before. Then, without hesitation, you can hear the judge striking his gavel against the wood plaque and ordering with strong authority, order in the court, order in the court, order in the court. To which the disorderly man complied and calmly sat back down. But the prior milliseconds was irreversible. The damage had been done. The out-of-line commotion was an influencing message that could not be erased from the jury's conscience. This everyone knew. During deliberation, I waited for what felt like an endless, imaginable amount of time. Then, at 9 p.m. sharp, the jailer announced to me that the jury had reached his verdict. Even though I didn't pull the trigger, I was sentenced to death and became the youngest condemned inmate on death row in Arkansas at 18. That is the conclusion of my story. I would now like to share a poem with you all, and after I share this poem, I will be open to any Q&A that the audience may have for me. This poem I titled Strange Fruit. Strange fruit is what a southern slave once considered it to be. The description of a Negro hanging and dangling from the limb of a sycamore tree. Justice is what many labeled it to be, a spirit tradition that thousands came out to witness and see. The barbaric killing of a brother man for the deed he committed against another man. Lynching is what history would later acknowledge it to be. The death penalty is the code name that is mostly used to now describe the atrocity. While capital punishment is what Black Smoke Dictionary defined it to be in this generation of new chemicals and high-tech technology. To some, to the naive, just because you cannot see strange fruit literally dangling from the limb of the tree, many have written off lynching as if they no longer exist in our society. But I am the new era of strange fruit, minus the sycamore tree. And if you open your eyes, this reality, you will see. Thank you all.